Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
Let's get it started in here.
There's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the
bandits
out of the field!
He's gonna go! 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 Go!
Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go!
Go! Go! Go! Go! Go!
Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Go! Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started.
What's up? What's up, everybody? This is the Sporting Edge. I'm here with the main man, Roz, and we also have a very special guest joining us this week, an old-time friend, Matt Collada. Matt, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm really good. I'm excited to be here. We got Roz down here with me at WashU in St. Louis. He's down for Mardi Gras weekend. Should be a fun weekend. I'm excited to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here in Missouri. I'm now filmed the show or recorded.
Are you allowed there?
In some states, I'm
banned from about half the states.
You're right. In some states, I'm not allowed, but Missouri is one of them where I can be. So I'm very excited. I'm recording the show into my third state now. I've gone from Illinois, Ohio, all the way to Missouri. So I'm super excited about this show. We're going to be talking about NBA trades today. I know it was a big letdown earlier in the week when the deadline went up. But we have to still address some of the big trades that happened earlier in the trade process. So, Xander, we've been waiting to talk about it all week with everybody. Tell me about Cousins. Like, it's his this is a team where he's part of a twin tower aspect.
Yeah, you know, I think this. People are saying this could be the biggest front court combo of all time, and I think it could definitely be up there. I mean, Anthony Davis, after having kind of an off year last year, is back to being, you know, one of the best big men in the league. And, of course, DeMarcus Cousins, you know what he can do on the court, including technical fouls and everything. But you know what? I thought this trade was definitely a win for the Pelicans. But, I mean, there's a lot of worry out there that DeMarcus Cousins is just kind of a cancer in the locker room and on the court. You know, has had a lot of issues, a lot of problems controlling himself. But, you know, he's a good guy. I mean, did a lot for the Sacramento community. But I don't know if this team necessarily has enough of the pieces to win a title. I mean, definitely going to help. But, you know, I thought Tyreke Evans is okay. I thought he was a decent piece of that team. I think they're going to need, you know, obviously the two people in the front court aren't the only people who are going to win him games. But I thought this was a win for the Pels. The Kings, it was another kind of head-scratcher. You know, Vlade Divac, I don't know who was responsible for it, but they really didn't get much back for probably the best big man in the league. So, you know, the Kings are... they're just kind of like the 76ers. They're always just fumbling around, thumbs and butts. I'm trying not to swear this week.
Well, Xander, yeah, you know. I'm really intrigued that you said that because I'm actually on the opposite end of you right now. I think that this is good for the Pelicans for the time being. I think it'll be nice having DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis down low, and they'll have Eric Gordon playing the point or shooting guard, I apologize. But I think the Kings actually made out here with a little bit of success. I think they knew that DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent next summer, and they're the only team
but
that...
My thing is he kept saying, I want to be in San Francisco the rest of my life. You know,
it's Sacramento, big guy, and he didn't really have the choice. He didn't go, hey, put me on the Pelicans. He's going to go back to Sacramento if everything works out the way it does, unless the Lakers really start pulling some strings with Magic Johnson now in office. But, Xander, I'm telling you, DeMarcus Cousins was just as surprised as me and you were when I was texting you earlier in the week. It's something very shocking. I'm a little surprised, actually, on the Pelicans' end as well in terms of them giving up Buddy Hield. They're expecting Buddy Hield to kind of be their future scorer along with Anthony Davis. Yeah, don't you like Buddy Hield?
Love me some Buddy Hield. But let me tell you something. You know why DeMarcus Cousins wanted to stay in Sacramento? Because DeMarcus Cousins lost about $30 million on his max contract.
Absolutely.
With the new CBA, I think he lost about $30 million, and that's the only reason he wanted to stay in Sacramento. Yeah, I'm sure he's thrilled to be playing with another big man like that.
Absolutely. He's thrilled about the players he could probably play with the Pelicans, but like Matt said, it's a $30 million difference, and with this new CBA, he was placed to make $206 million for the Sacramento Kings. Now the most he can make is $179, and I know we're crying over here that he can only make $179 million. I mean, me and Matt are making $300 million a week, but other than that, like I've said, Xander, I just don't think this is going to be a long-term situation. I think the Kings are going to be successful. They got a draft pick as well. I think it goes well for the Kings, and it just looks pretty for the Pelicans right now, who still aren't even a playoff team. So we have to keep that in mind going forward.
Yeah,
you know, but I think the Kings didn't really – I mean, who did they get? I mean, Buddy Hield possibly could be a pretty good pro. But, you know, other than that, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and the two other names, I can't really bring them to mind right now. But
they got the beautiful Tyreke Evans, like you said earlier in the show, which is funny you forgot. And they also got Langston Galloway, who was on the New York Knicks. They got a first and second round pick, and they gave up our fellow Jew. We got three Jews on the show today. They gave up Omri Caspi, pardon me, our Israelite. He's joining the Sacramento Kings.
Israelite.
I'm sorry, I haven't been there yet.
Caspi's joining
the Pelicans. I meant the Pelicans. He's joining the Pelicans. But, Matt, me and Xander have been bickering. That's the typical here. What do you think about DeMarcus Cousins overall as a player? And do you think that the Pelicans are his last team he'll be on, or do you think he's moving away?
Well, so, yeah, my thought here is that as the Pelicans, I don't think you ever make this deal if you don't think he's going to stay. I think what could be great about this deal is that these are two big men that have different styles. You know, Davis can play a little bit more on the perimeter, so they're probably not going to mesh at first, and I think the Pelicans know that this isn't the year. I think they know that they're not going to go for it this year. However, I think that, I mean, I think given time to work together, these two players, they're just studs. They're both absolute some of the best big men. They might have the two of the best big men in the league over in New Orleans. So now I think you give them some time. You give them the work together. I think the Pelicans probably know that he's willing to stay and maybe have talked to him a little bit. And on the Kings side, I actually don't think it was the worst thing for them either. I don't think they wanted to pay DeMarcus Cousins that huge contract. I think they didn't want to. So I think you get Tyreke Evans. I love Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield at Oklahoma is one of my favorite guys for watching college. And then you get some picks. You know, so basically I think what they've done is they've said, we're obviously rebuilding. We knew Sacramento wasn't going to do anything. So I think they've kind of committed to that, just like the White Sox, baby. The White Sox are all committed to it. Sacramento's the same way.
I got a question for you. So yeah. They didn't want to give him a max contract. Was it because of his talent, or was it because of him as a kind of a person on that team?
Well, I think Boogie just had to get out of Sacramento. I think that was like I think he could probably be a piece in a championship team, but he might need another guy to talk. He's coming to New Orleans. Davis is the guy. You know, DeMarcus is no longer the guy anymore, so maybe Davis could tell him.
I don't know. I mean, I would put them pretty on par.
Yeah, no, absolutely
Davis
no.
Davis is a little better.
Yeah,
but
in terms of skill, yes, but I think, you know, he's been here his whole career. He's been in New Orleans.
Okay.
Boogie comes to the team.
We're not
talking straight. Yeah, no, I'm talking this is Davis's clubhouse. You know, Boogie has to come in and respect that, whereas, you know, he ran all over San Francisco. And so I think Vladdy knew it was time to get him out of there. I think they were ready. They want to go the Duye Dukin route. They want to ride him to a ship, but instead,
yeah, because he's still on the roster.
Yeah, but instead, I think they got rid of him. They got rid of the cap space. They got some cap space, and then they've got some pieces with which maybe they can start to build.
You know what, Xander? Really quickly, you know what I find interesting? I think DeMarcus Cousins should give us a call, and here's why: DeMarcus Cousins has gotten more airtime on the Sporting Edge than I think any other player in any sport that we talk about. I was going back through some of our past shows, Xander, and we love to talk about Cousins. And you know what? We probably should get some credit for him being traded.
Hey, hit us up, Boogie.
I know we were talking a lot about him being traded, and I think he needs to wet the beak a little bit. Give us some money. Give us some money in this new contract he's probably going to get next year. But we keep beating this dead horse down. We're going to have to see how it works out with Anthony Davis and Cousins in New Orleans. But we've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the rest of the trades and the trades that didn't happen during the trade deadline. We're also going to get to the White Sox. I know Matt already alluded to that.
There we go.
So we'll get him talking about his favorite Chicago sports team. And then, of course, Ethan's got to come with bracketology, some NCAA stuff for you. But that's all the time we have in this segment, everybody. This is Sporting Edge at LibertyTalk.fm. You're with Xander and Roz. And we'll be back right after the break. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Roz and Wits at the Sporting Edge. And we didn't get to do this the first segment, but Xander, I know you know this, and we like to ask our guests every single time when they come on the show a special interview type question. And Sporting Edge listeners, this is actually a treat for you guys because Matt here, who's with us, actually understands kind of the dynamic me and Xander have, absolutely, especially when it comes to the locker room. So
Matt is a true locker room guy, unlike you, Roz.
That is fair. Roz is certainly no locker room guy.
And he only says that because I wear flip-flops in the shower. But other than that, Matt, we've been talking. We've had people do their Super Bowl pick. We've had people do just random athletes they'd like to go in the locker room with. So we ask you, if you can spend a day being a locker room guy with a little bit of a steam, a little bit of a sauna, maybe a hot tub in between there, and you get to bring any athlete. But we're going to cut it down because of how big of a Sox fan you are and because we're going to talk about it later in the show. Okay. So we're actually going to go any Sox player at any time in history.
Ooh.
Which guy you bring into the locker room with you to blow dry your hair maybe, not wear flip-flops. I know. I like blowing drying my hair. I like blow drying my hair. You know what? Me and Edelman would have been great with that. But anyways, so no flip-flops in the shower. Who's the guy that's not wearing them with you, Matt?
Well, so that's interesting. That's a big question. And for the White Sox, there's only kind of two eras you can look at. You can look at like 1917, 1919 from your World Championship White Sox to your Black Sox, you know, that shoeless Joe Jackson era. And then you go to the 2005 era. That's as White Sox fans, that's about all we've got. It's pretty much shit anywhere else. Shoeless Joe, love the guy, but he's probably my only maybe answer there. A little bit old. Don't know if I can connect with him. So we're going to jump to the 2005 White Sox, probably the best baseball team that's ever existed, if we're talking truths here.
Okay, whatever. Whatever he says over here.
And so we're going to look to those guys, and there's a few stalwarts. So my favorite player of all time, Joe Creedy.
That was my guess, by the way.
I don't think it's going to be him. Okay. I love him. There's two. I got to choose between two. It's the studs of the White Sox. It's Mark Burley, Paul Konerko, the two White Sox legends.
Frank Thomas?
Day.
I feel like Frank Thomas is a locker room guy.
Frank Thomas might be a locker room guy, but Mark Burley and Paul Konerko, you just know those guys are absolute stand-up guys. And I think it's going to have to go to Mark Burley.
Nice.
Mark Burley is lefty. Today I was on Facebook, and it's the reunion of his – or some anniversary they were talking about. I think they're going to retire his perfect game jersey or something like that.
I still remember we were in the car driving to a baseball tournament through that perfect
I'll
game.
Never forget where I was. Leslie Wade's car. We didn't see Dwayne Wise's catch, but we felt it. You know, we felt how incredible that was. So I'd love to sit in the locker room, take a little steam, a little hot tub with Mark Burley and talk to him about that game, because that game was just incredible. I know that's my answer for sure.
One of the coolest things I've heard about that game for him is that every day before he came to the park when he was starting, he'd have a Slurpee. That day he missed the Slurpee.
Oh, interesting. Did he
miss the Slurpee that day?
The perfect Slurpee.
Do we know if he continued on with the Slurpees? Did he? I
don't know anything about it. I heard it once, you know, kind of secondhand. It might not even be true. I thought it was awesome, yeah, though, whoever said it. It's the coolest thing, you know. Baseball is a very superstitious sport.
Absolutely.
And you know, for him to do that, yeah, you know,
to me, you never touch a Slurpee in your life after that. I mean, I think Slurpees,
not even for just for pleasure. No, on off days.
Nothing.
Slurpees. You can't even walk into a 7-Eleven.
Slurpees are, yeah. We're not even touching anything with a Slurpee in it. We're not going in. We boycott that now.
All right, so Mark Burley's done with the Slurpees, and Mark Burley is a steam and hot tub kind of guy. So that's Matt's locker room pick. But Xander, back to the topic we were hitting before the break. This trade deadline kind of weak. I mean, the last trade of the day was PJ Tucker going to the Toronto Raptors for Jared Sullinger in a draft pick. I mean, I'm not getting hard to that.
What are we going to talk about trades? There's, you know, three or four teams, probably only two that, you know, have a chance of winning at all.
Yeah, but Paul George to the Celtics, Jimmy Butler to the Celtics. I mean, I know you want to rant about the Bulls trade today or a couple days ago. How terrible is that?
Ranting about that. It was one of the worst. I can't even describe it. It was awful.
They could have at least shipped Butler away for a second round draft pick, looked nicer than the trade they made.
The Bulls, there's no reason to ship Butler away. The Bulls can only build around Butler. Like, there's nothing. There's nowhere to go if you don't keep Jimmy Butler. There's no like savior there. I think to me.
Well, they can go to the bottom. They can just get the ground zero.
I think in the NBA that's way too much of a workup. You've got like, I feel like you got 6 years before you have a shot if you do that.
That's fair. And to Matt's point right here on why I think Butler is actually still important to this Bulls team moving forward. Reoccurring guest Mike Strafase, Xander, who's going to be back on the show when we talk college basketball and March Madness gets closer. He said the Bulls have the Nets first round pick that is, and it's protected. It's going to be a top pick, top three, like 3, 2, 1, whatever it is.
Do we really?
Yes. And this is regarded as the best draft class that's come out since 2003. And I all know that we would love an opportunity to draft LeBron James again. Fun fact. Yes, Xander. So
I've heard that as well.
So if Dwayne Wade can work it out because he's my man and he wants to, I want him to stay there because I love seeing the number three in a Bulls uniform. Ugh. And Jimmy Butler is still fantastic and beautiful and was not traded away to the Celtics, which would have been a dynamic team, Xander.
I agree. I'm a big Celtics guy.
I'm a Celtics guy too.
I'm a big believer in the culture there. And
Brad Stevens.
Butler, he was a very likable guy, great coach. And you just kind of feel it with the Celtics that they're on the verge of, I think, you know, competing with the Cavs for a very long time. And they're probably going to outlast LeBron. I mean, I think this team, you know, obviously, you know, Horford isn't the youngest of guys and Isaiah Thomas is an established guy. But this is the kind of team I think could be relevant for a very long time. But, you know, getting back to the point about the Bulls, I mean, one of the reasons that upset me about this trade was, I mean, I like Dougie Buckets. He was a guy who I thought down the road could be a contributor. I mean, I'm not going to say Kyle Korver because he's probably the best at what he does in the league. But, you know, he was a younger guy. Thought we could have got a little use out of him had we kept Butler and tried to keep building towards a championship team with this pick. But I just feel like we didn't really get any value back. And we also gave away a second-round draft pick. But, you know, not to say that they're the same worth as the second-round pick in the NFL. But nonetheless, it's an early pick in the second round. And, you know, we're getting back Anthony Morrow, who's about 45 years old. And whoever
still
else
hit a three,
got,
though.
It wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, and Xander, it's actually interesting you say that because along with Anthony Morrow, we got LaVerne. And then we've got Cameron Payne, who is almost a younger Rondo. And he doesn't have the temperament, and he won't blow up at Hoiberg, who I don't know how long he's going to be there. But Cameron Payne can't shoot. He's not a shooter. He's another athlete that just...
We had a shooter. His name was Doug.
I know. And so we replaced our shooter. We, like you said, a 45-year-old Anthony Morrow. And I know, Anthony Morrow, if you're listening to the show, we're not calling you out for age. You have the record for the most points by an undrafted free agent. So congratulations to that. I know we're a couple years late on that, Anthony. But don't hate us. We're just saying, like, Dougie McDermott and Taj Gibson, much younger pieces. I know Taj was going to be a free agent this coming summer. But we got nothing. We got nothing to help.
We have nothing besides Butler. There's logistically nobody who we can build and use even as a piece for this team.
And
I mean, you know, Dwayne Wade is probably 2 or 3 years from retiring. Am I reaching?
Nope. I think he's got 5, 6 perfect years left.
He doesn't have 5 or 6.
I think he's going to come back Kobe Bryant style, baby.
He just couldn't stop being so biased.
Yeah, no way. No way that Dwayne Wade has 5, like, productive years left of him. But
regardless of how many years he's in the league, like, Butler is the only championship piece that this team has,
and
it's gonna be tough to, like, even come close.
Yeah. Do we know what the effect on cap was?
There's no cap. There's zero cap restrictions because of this. In fact, we have more money now.
That's what I'm saying. Sabotage by Bulls front office. I mean,
they're always looking to do that.
I mean, Paxton and Gar Foreman haven't done anything successful since they've been in office. I mean, they had that Derrick Rose years and everything, but you draft one good player every decade. I mean, you hopefully get to the playoffs here and there. The Bulls, they're in trouble. Dwayne Wade, I wish you would have asked to be traded to the Cavs. I'd love to see you win a couple more rings. You're going to be a Hall of Famer regardless, Mr. Wade, but this Bulls team is not going to help your resume, I can tell you that. But, like I said, we're going back to it. They do have that draft pick. They have 2 first-round draft picks next year. So who knows, Xander? We could see good things from the Bulls in the next 5 years.
See the Bulls have a good draft this year. I mean, I'm not saying they're not one player away, but, you know, a guy who could develop into, you know, I'd like to see a big man. I'm a big man guy. I love banging on the boards. As a 5'8 white guy, that was my calling card. That's all the time we have here, though, the Sporting Edge. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We're coming back after the break with some talk about NCAA basketball. Bracketology is coming up. Roz is going to be our expert this week, so we don't have Mike Strafase here, but that's all the time we have, everybody. We'll catch you after the break.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report.
bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Roz here with Wits and our good friend Matt. We beat the dead horse of basketball, only the NBA, but now we're going to come back strong with the NCAA. So it's been a very busy week. I know there's been a lot of losses in the top 25. One that hurt me and I'm sad to talk about is the Syracuse beating Duke. Although I have to say, and Xander and Matt, I know you both watched it as well, that last second shot is something spectacular. I mean, he just drove up the court, reckless abandon, and just pulled up with three guys basically in his face, banked it in for the win. Syracuse is a cardiac team. They come back from the dead very often, and you really have to consider them as a committee about putting them in the tournament. And I know we're about five games away plus the conference tournaments, but it's getting really heated right now. Who's going to make the tournament and everything? I just kind of want your guys' opinion on that Duke game before we go into the rest of the Wednesday games that were very troubling for the top 25.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a huge game for Syracuse. I think you're starting to see now after that win, they're coming out as, you know, one of those last teams in. I mean, it's an enormous win against Duke, who I'm kind of pissed off that they lost. You know, we were praising them last week. We thought they found their footing a little bit, and then they go and lose to an unranked Syracuse team. Well, you know, I'm not, you know.
On the road, though.
Syracuse, I know on the road, but, you know, they're unranked for a reason, and Duke was a team I could have envisioned getting a one seed, and now I think that is very unlikely. I mean, you've got an undefeated Gonzaga, a Villanova team that lost to Butler again, but they're still 26-2. You got a Kansas team, I think, is the best team in the nation.
They're disgusting,
and
Xander.
Teams ahead of them. So, you know what? Disappointing for Duke, great for Syracuse. A guy like Jim Boeheim, you never know what he's going to do in the tournament. You know, Tom Izzo was my guy. I don't think Michigan State's going to do it this year, but Jim Boeheim might be my guy this year.
No, absolutely. And Syracuse scares me. I know Dayton's not very important to you guys, but Dayton took a 30-point beating from the Cuse last year in the NCAA tournament. So I know I'm a little nervous. But it was the Dayton Flyers who knocked off the Syracuse Oranges earlier in one of my freshman year there when they made their Elite Eight run. So, yeah, Duke, it's a tough loss. And I know their line's not 9-1 anymore to win the national championship, but I still – I'm telling you, put your money on Duke because that Duke team took it to UNC, which is the next game I wanted to bring up because UNC spanked Rick Pitino. They spanked the Louisville Cardinals, and the Louisville Cardinals are a team of no scoring. They look like a Big 12 team, which I was complaining about last week. Wits, I know you just were hyping up Kansas, who I don't know if you've watched their games, but I don't know if they know what a free throw is to a layup. I mean, they can't make any shot they take. So Louisville, similar in that aspect, had 46 points with about 6 minutes left in the game. UNC ran away with that, won by double figures. UNC is that team is also is back. They're looking very sharp, and I know they just lost to Duke, but Duke and UNC, now those are two really quality teams. And Matt, I know that your brother is a massive Duke fan. I know that Duke is a school that we thought you'd go to because we're sitting next to a genius here, everybody. So what do you think? Come tournament time, what do you think about those two top ACC teams? You think Duke, UNC, they put up a fight?
Here's the thing. I think I haven't watched a ton of college basketball this year, but I've seen North Carolina play a few times, and Roy Williams has got a team this year. This team, every time I've seen them play, they play well. They play together, and there was never really a question in the games that I watched that they had kind of everything running smoothly. Roy Williams had the show running, and he had it clicking together. Now, Duke, I really don't know what to think about them because you know they've got that crazy recruiting class. You know they've got a bunch of studs like they always do. And without Coach K right now, I think – is Coach K still – Coach K's
he's back. He's back.
Oh, he's back. Okay.
He's back of the week. His back is back is all of the week.
Well, honestly, if he can come back and that's where they are, then honestly, I don't trust Duke too much, but I don't know if you guys saw this. I thought one of the really funny things about the Louisville game, little Rick Pitino got kind of mad. I don't know if you guys see this.
It was rough.
He had a fan ejected, and we know Rick Pitino. He's done some sketchy things, but so he had a fan ejected, and he said that the fan said something that he didn't like. So you would
the
assume,
fan said, "Rick Pitino, you suck."
That's what I was gonna say. You assume it's gonna be something like way worse than that, and it was just, "You suck, Rick Pitino." So
the guy was on edge.
Talk about a guy that has a little bit of a thin skin, Rick Pitino. You're pretty soft, my man.
But Xander, stay woke. Stay woke, Xander. I'm
always woke.
I told you, Rick Pitino's part of a mob, and North Carolina's a little bit away from Kentucky. But I think it was more of a mob connection that he got mad at. The "you suck" thing doesn't seem very practical to me, but I think somebody said, "I'm going to shoot your horse." Because remember, I told you, I think he's in the horse mob. He has a lot of horses down in Kentucky.
I'm gonna leave the Rick Pitino mob talk out of the show. It's a freaking sports show, Roz.
Horse racing is
sports. I think Xander might have some connection to this mob. I think he's trying to get us off the topic here.
It's called Pizzagate. You got to learn about it.
Yeah, Xander, I don't know, man.
Again, this is another point I brought up last week. The home court advantage doesn't really exist in the NCAA tournament. And I know this that North Carolina ran away with this game at the end, but, like, you know, I keep saying, you know, there's not going to be that lopsided crowd that's shaking the gym for you in these close games in the Sweet 16, Final Four, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was a good win for North Carolina. You know, they're coming back. They're my Duke of this week. They're on the rise again.
They're back.
Louisville, I agree with you. They're going to have some trouble scoring, but I think they're still a very good team.
Defensively, yes.
That's what makes this tournament so interesting. I mean, you've got probably 11 or 12 teams I think could have a legitimate shot. You got West Virginia at 12 right now. I mean, if you were to tell me that they were going to take down the whole thing this year, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think they're going to do it, but I could definitely see it. And then you got Kentucky, Duke, Baylor, UNC, Louisville, Oregon, UCLA, Zonas, Kansas, Villanova, Gonzaga. I mean, those are all quality teams, and I'm excited to watch a tournament this year because I think the bracket disbursement of teams picked is going to be pretty awesome.
Yes.
It's not going to be like 45% of the nation picking Kentucky, you know, when Anthony Davis was on the team. I think there's going to be a lot of disparity, and I'm excited for this tournament. It's going to be exciting from day one. I mean, it always is, but I think this is going to be extra special this year.
Yes, your face is going to be mad at you that you didn't consider putting Purdue in that top 15 list. But
man, Purdue's good.
I only named the top 12.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? I'll give you that one. But Surface is going to come on the show with some reckless abandon, probably a little bit mad at you. But let's also talk about that Wednesday because I told you, a lot of top 25 losses. In fact, Villanova lost again. And I know I'm sounding a little harsh right here. They lost twice to Butler this year. That is absurd. And this one at home.
Did you know that their seniors were 45-0 at home until that loss?
And they had a 48-game home win streak. This is absurd. It was crazy. It was one of the craziest things I've seen this year in college basketball, and I've seen a lot of college basketball this year. So what do you think about Nova now? Is it maybe they just can't get past Butler? I mean, they look good against other teams. Me and you both agree. I think Villanova is a scary team come the postseason. But what is the deal with Butler here?
I mean, yeah, I didn't see the game, but I'm, you know, Villanova has impressed me this year. I think they've looked very good, and it doesn't really scare me that they've dropped two games to the same team. You know, I think they will figure it out. I think this is a very dangerous team, and we saw that last year. I mean, I remember talking about the tournament last year, kind of downplaying Villanova, that they were really never able to step up to the plate, and I kept saying that every week until, you know, they sunk that buzzer beater to win the whole thing. So, Villanova, I'm not too worried that they dropped a couple games to Butler. I think they're definitely a one seed, definitely a team to watch out for. And, you know, you can definitely make a case still that they're the best team in the nation. I think you could, you know, I don't really know how good Gonzaga is. It's hard for me to judge with that schedule.
I feel like you always got to question Gonzaga. That's the thing. I feel like every year they come in, they're a top seed, and you just never really know what to get out of them because unlike any other team in the country, they're just playing a bunch of pancakes, you know, and they just walk right through them.
Hey, Xander, do you hear what Matt just said to you? I hope you caught that because I've been saying that for the last 4 weeks. They're eating pancakes out there, and I don't even know if you can count St. Mary's as a team. Who knows?
St. Mary's is good once upon a time, but right now, you know, they're nothing. Who are they playing out there, Xander?
They're ranked in the top 20, so how about you guys bite your tongues over there?
I mean, once again, they're just playing the small field. They play a team called Pacific sometimes. I mean, like Stony Brook maybe. Like, they're playing teams out there, Xander, that will never even taste the tournament. But I'm going to get off the Gonzaga train because they're number one, so I can't keep ripping them. And I keep telling you how much I actually respect and love their coach. But I tried bringing this up at the end of the show last week. there's three conferences that I'm willing to say are going to bring out the champion. I know that seems like a lot, but I'm discrediting the SEC.
Just take three out of the major five conferences.
I'm going to say there's six major conferences in basketball because you have to consider the Big East.
You're just flipping it. Now you're just flipping it.
You know, maybe I'll even put a seven because the American one. Because Cincinnati looks good. The SMU.
Make it nine.
That's fine. So I'm still picking.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm picking three, and I'm going to pick teams out of there as well, Xander. But here's what I have to say. I don't like the Big 12. I've told you that. I was all Baylor at the beginning of the season, and I put them at the number one seed or number one ranked team in the country. That was all me. I got them there. Kansas,
you got them.
Kansas can't score. And
Hold on, guys. Just so you know, Baylor, thank Roz. Give him a call. Maybe send him a little gift basket.
Make me your assistant coach. That's all I need. But the Big 12, not great scoring-wise. I don't think that the SEC is talented enough. And the Big East is just – they're just – Villanova. That's all I've got from that. And Xander, I know we're going to get to more NCAA after the break, but leave you off. Follow us on Twitter, like I've been saying. We're at Roz for Roz. And Xander, you're at ZandyBoy13. We really want to get your tweets and your words on the show, so hit us up. You can also look at us on Facebook at LibertyTalk.fm. We'll be back after the break, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Roz and Witz and our good friend Matt here at the Sporting Edge. I just wanted to finish up what I was saying. If you're a sports gambler, I know there's a lot of teams to choose from, but when the bracket comes out, there's only 64. You can break it up whatever you want, any way you want. The ACC is going to probably have 10 teams in, but if you're going to pick a champion, I would tell you that three conferences to really look at is the Pac-12 because of Arizona, Oregon, and UCLA, who've all been outstanding, and this week they were able to prove that once again. Then you also have the ACC, who I said will have the 10 teams in it, and I love the way that Duke and UNC are now playing down the stretch. And then I know the Big Ten is having a little bit of a struggle, and I'm done picking on the Big Ten because I like the guys in there. I like Purdue. I like Wisconsin, although they have a little bit of a struggle. Maryland's going through their lull, and I love it that they're going through their lull right now because they're going to bounce right back for the Big Ten Conference Championship Tournament. So follow the Big Ten, Pac-12. And the ACC, ignore the rest of the conferences except for the Atlantic 10, everybody. Go Dayton. And we've got a very, very special Witz's Corner this week.
Here we go.
I told you, we couldn't get Michael Bolton. Not Michael Bolton. Michael Buffer. Xander, you got to fill me in on the name here, baby.
Man, Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer. I just couldn't.
It's time!
There we go. So it's time. We couldn't get him on the show, so it's my lead. In Witz's Corner, we've got him standing at about 210. Hopefully, Witz, you're under that. I think you're 195, but you're in your corner.
A svelte 185.
You're in your corner. You're backed up. The towel's been ripped off. You got no shirt on. You got the black leggings. And in the other corner, the victim of today. We've got Matt Collada from 2012.
Oh, here we go.
2012, Matt Collada is in Witz's ring, Witz's Corner, and Witz... Let the Sporting Edge members have it.
All right. So, a little background on this story. The day that Jay Cutler got traded to the Bears.
I think this was like a year after that I made this call.
I know. I was always not a fan.
Fair. So, you were not. I remember.
Get back in your corner.
Get back in the corner. I remember where we were when we saw this. We were at EFT, I think.
We were at EFT. Mm-hmm. And I, as a young man, about 10 years old, I was still against this trade. I was a big believer in Kyle.
Not 10 years old.
That's a whole nother thing.
I did not agree with us giving up a first-round pick.
It was two. It was two, actually. It was two.
Two. All right. Even better. My memory was wrong. But... You know what? I had to stick with him. He was the quarterback of the Bears, got to an NFC Championship game. But now I'm sitting here in PC 2017, and the Bears have not been to the playoffs, I want to say, in 7 years. And we're having the Jay Cutler trade talks. And I remember a very specific day back in December of 2012. It was the 17th. We were on winter break. And this one Matt Collada, who was on this show today, said Jay Cutler – will be the MVP of the NFL next season. Oh. And I told him he was absolutely wrong.
He was asinine.
Never be more than an average quarterback at best in this National Football League. And now we are sitting here with a horrible Bears team and a horrible quarterback. They are willing to shop for the price of a fourth round draft pick, which some teams will not even take for him.
All right.
I think we got to get a 10 count going.
So here's, wait, here's, we do here's, have the 10 count, Matt.
So here's what we're going to say about Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is a special talent. No question about it.
Oh, God.
The arm, the legs, it's all there. Now, did Jay Cutler ever put it together?
What about the thing between the two ears?
And that's where it all went wrong. Unfortunately, that's all went wrong. We saw last year, the year before this just atrocious Bears season, just a brutal one. The year before, we saw a quarterback that had it in him. We saw a quarterback that played well. And the problem was, when he was ready to find it out, when he was ready to start showing it, we had just gross Bears teams. We had these teams with defenses that are just like always between 29 and 32 in all the defensive stats. So how is this guy going to go out? He had to go win games. And, you know, he tried to force things, and he definitely didn't make the best decisions.
Aaron Rodgers had the worst defense in the NFL.
Jay Cutler was not – I'm not saying he was Aaron Rodgers.
But Aaron Rodgers is an MVP, and right, you said
well,
Jay Cutler
was
going to be
MVP.
About
MVP. Okay. I still think, given the right
Wait, team – that's a punch.
Given the right team –
I'm taking it. I blocked it.
Given the right team here, I think Jay Cutler could have done it. Honestly, if you're a struggling team in the NFL right now, give Cutty a call. I'm telling you, the guy's not done.
Okay, I agree with that. I think a team that is on the way to rebuilding and doesn't necessarily have, you know, the time or the resources to develop a quarterback, it could be a decent place. If he went to the Browns, I'd be kind of indifferent. But
I'd feel bad. I'm still rooting for Jay. I might be like Roz now. I might start rooting for players. I might be a fan of whatever team Jay goes to next. I love that man.
You can have him.
I love that man. He better not go to Cleveland. We're looking for a championship contender for Jay.
All right. Well, what championship contender is having Jay Cutler as a quarterback?
Oh man, I don't know. Yeah, that's where I'm at a loss.
Hey, you know where he used to play, right?
Ah, they do. They need a quarterback, don't they?
They might need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback, don't they?
Good question here, Matt. I think I know the answer, but, you know, given the choice between the two, Tony Romo and Jay Cutler, everything else, no money, nothing involved, just straight up two guys. Who would you rather have right now?
For next year? Oh, Tony Romo. For the Denver Broncos.
Oh, definitely Tony.
Oh, yeah, still Tony. It's still Tony. Tony's a great quarterback. I thought you were about to say the Bears because it would still be
Matt Barkley for you.
We gotta get Barkley out there, but I think we still gotta get rid of Cutler.
Sporting Edge listeners, Matt Collada has actually said Matt Barkley will be the next MVP Chicago Bears. So
is that a quote?
That's a quote. So
quote me on it.
When Roz's rant comes out in 2 years from now, and we have Matt back on the show, just know that we are coming after him because Matt Barkley will not have won that prestigious award that Matt was talking about. But the Bears are in shambles. Aaron Rodgers is so beautiful. And, yeah, I just had to get that out there. I think Witz knocked him out. It was a first-round fight. Witz with three punches.
Call me Mike Tyson, baby, because I'm ferocious. I want your heart.
Absolutely. And since we're speaking about fighting, I think it's only fair we bring up a potential fight in the works. How excited would you be? And I'm mixed about this. This is why I want to hear your opinion, Matt, and your opinion, Xander. McGregor versus Mayweather. What are we thinking? Are we paying for that? Are we excited for that potential?
Oh my God, I have thoughts. I'm if you guys know, I'm a big UFC guy. You know, I don't follow it religiously, but enough to know probably, you know, some big names. Whenever the big cards are out, I'm always watching. And I think that this has to be a boxing match because, you know, I don't think you can ask a guy who stood on his feet his entire career to go toe-to-toe with McGregor.
He dies there. But, he dies there. Easy.
Right. You know what? I don't think it's really a winning proposition for either sport. Just running the risk of, you know what? If Floyd Mayweather beats Conor McGregor in a boxing match, I think it's iffy. But if Conor McGregor were to beat Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match, it would kill the sport of boxing. Like, the sport of boxing would die the minute that 10 count was up.
Well, hold on, Xander. What does the sport of boxing have going for it right now?
Nothing, Xander.
To right now, it would be gone.
Hold on, now tell me about this. What if Floyd Mayweather knocks him out and then right after the fight says, "I'm a boxer now"? Tell me you're not watching that. Tell me you're not watching the next Conor McGregor fight.
No, you
not
just
that
flipped
I think
the
that
words.
Could happen.
He's saying if McGregor knocks out Mayweather,
that's what Xander's talking about.
Xander, I don't know about you, McGregor. Why would McGregor go into this fight?
I agree.
It's a boxing match, I understand, and Mayweather is the undisputed champion, never lost. And first off, this would be the funniest thing in the universe.
I don't think McGregor has much to lose.
He doesn't, but Mayweather has everything to lose, Xander. He's never lost a boxing match. If he lost to McGregor, that'd be hilarious. And what me and Matt are saying, McGregor, like, he's not subjecting himself to lose a match. Like, he's not going in there like, "Oh, I'm going to make $1 billion." Not actually that figure. Do you think do you think he throws a knockout punch? Like,
no.
Floyd Mayweather
kicks the shit out of him, if we're being completely honest. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know.
I mean, well, I know you guys have watched Floyd Mayweather box before.
And I've watched McGregor, too, though.
It's an art form, but it's not my cup of tea. It's a very boring defensive style of boxing, and he's the best in the world at it, but it's not my thing.
Yeah, we all bought that pay-per-view, and we're all, like, it was the first time we had all never watched boxing in a while. We all saw that, we got really excited, and then everyone saw something that they wanted to sleep while they were watching. We all know.
It was not fun to watch, but you know what? It happened. And that's all the time that we have here, folks. Sporting Edge. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us.
Montana. Looking. Throwing in the end zone.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.